A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumper Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, 20 new research projects transform Indigenous health research in Australia. We're going to catch up a yarn with a very successful applicant, and that's Sue Andrews, CEO and project lead, Gurini Yalamaka. On the line, Suzanne, good morning, sister. How are you?
Hi, Trevor. Good night. Good.
Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
So I'm a Kimberley woman from the northwest Kimberley area of WA. I'm a Jaru Punabai lady.
All right, fantastic, sister. And how long you been over there in Yarri?
Oh, look, I grew up in Yarri. Pretty much grew up here, yeah.
Too deadly. That's right. And you're CEO and project lead, Gurini Yalamaka. So tell us about this fantastic opportunity, 20 new research projects, and you're one of the projects that's got the thumbs up, got the green light. So tell us about this project, sister.
So Lowitja Institute had funding Australia-wide, and anyone could apply for some of that small grant funding with Lowitja around research, doing research in organisations and services. Mm. Gurini, together with Kamala and Les Baird, applied for funding through Lowitja to do a family wellbeing research program here in Yarrabah.
All right, fantastic. And what does the project consist of? What actually is the project?
So family wellbeing here in Yarrabah has been around for many years. You know, it was actually part of the first, bit of Gurini before it became a clinic. Mm. So what it is that family wellbeing is around how do we get people's health and wellbeing ready if they're looking for a job. Yes. Or if they want to go into small businesses. What is that back-end work that needs to happen around yourself to get yourself ready, to get yourself in that mindset about, oh, look, I want to start a business, but what's some of the stuff I need to get ready before I get there? Or if I want to get into a job, yes, how do I keep that job? And family wellbeing helps do that.
Well, if you look at a health organisation, First Nation health organisation, like Gurini Yalamaka, that's a process, isn't it? Mm. And when you look at a job or a career pathway or a business, financial security or moving forward, that's a part of health, isn't it?
Exactly, Trevor. When you talk about or when you want to address all social determinants that's got to do with health, there are all these other social things that impact on your health. Having a job, getting into business, education and so forth. So these are all the things that involves the social determinants around healthy mind, healthy body.
Fantastic. So with the funding, what sort of funding are we talking here for this project?
So the funding from Lowitja Institute, and the funding will go towards delivering family wellbeing programs within Yarrabah to the mob. So anybody who's thinking about thinking of applying for a job down the track somewhere, or anyone who's thinking about going into business now, what are the things that I need to get ready personally myself, my wellbeing ready? When you look at it from a business angle, you think about, have I got the money? Do I need to do a cash flow? Do I need to do a business plan? Mm. Well, this is the flip side of that. This is talking about getting the person ready, healthy mind, healthy body, thinking about these ideas and how to make sure that we can continue with this, making sure that we're well and our family's well.
Beautiful. So with this funding, you can help mob set up business or get work ready, whether it be clothing, uniform, shoes, whatever the case may be. That's where you come in with this project?
Yes. So working with our job network called Woogunumbal, which is our job active here in Yarrabah.
Yes.
Working with our health service, we also have an economic arm around the working with Woogunumbal called the Accelerator Hub. Mm-hmm. It's where you put your business ideas through. Good. And it spits it out and say, oh, yep, it's a great business idea. We can get funding through here. Let's get you happening. But before that happens, let's also look at how healthy you are, thinking and your family around that well-being stuff. So running the family well-being program will help you get in that mindset. Yes. Getting ready for run a business or get into a job.
Look, it brings people to the table too, doesn't it, Suzanne? So that we can talk about the health process, and then we can talk about the vision for the economic, the business process. But let's look at your health first, which is utmost important.
Exactly. We know mob in Yarrabah are not, as with any Indigenous community across Australia, a lot of our mob still have lots of chronic illnesses. How do we start to address those first? but also around that social, emotional well-being. How do we make sure that your well-being is intact as well? So that we're, you know, you're ready to think about this business idea. We don't have a lot of jobs in Yarrabah, so the next best thing in Yarrabah is how do we start to get people thinking about business opportunities, business ideas, and putting them into practice.
Well, they're having the starting a new business is the motivation in getting the health check, so to speak, because you want to be proper deadly when you start your business.
Hello.
Yeah, you there, Suzanne?
Yes.
You there, Suzanne?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So, in regarding starting a business, let's check out your health because you've got to be looking and feeling deadly before getting into business so you can drive the deadly business.
Exactly. You know, when you go into business, it's a long-term commitment.
Sure.
So when you look at that, look at your own health too, and that long-term
exactly.
commitment to your well-being to make sure that you know that you're gonna see that through, and that you're gonna be there around for a while to make sure that your business flourishes, but also making sure that your well-being is intact as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Look, congratulations. I think it's a great concept, great idea, fantastic. And congratulations to Girini Yalamaka and the work that you mob are doing out there. Yarrabah represent because they just won the grand final. There you go. So they'd be all fired up after winning the Cairns District Rugby League grand final the second time running. So the mob must be still partying there, my sister.
Oh, look, here and there, you know, they're still celebrating here in Yarrabah. Last time we won it was 2017, and we won it again this year, so awesome.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, thank you for sharing. All the best to your deadly team there, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Thanks, Trevor, mate. Bye.
Bye, Dale. A beautiful yarn there. That's Suzanne Andrews, CEO and project lead at Girini Yalamaka, and talking about the new project they received funding for a new project, and regarding helping the mob there at Yarrabah to get job ready, get a job, or if they want to start their own business. But let's do the health check first. So good draw card. Fantastic, beautiful, you mob. Stay tuned. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Namore hi be ngari chal kukyo. This is a message from Ray Sanbury seeking help from Cairns Community.
Yeah, hello. My name's Ray Sambo. Most people would know or heard about the story of the young fella missing out on the reef. That's my nephew, young Torrent Sambo. And then, well, the police, you know, we appreciate everything that the police have done. But, you know, unfortunately, they've now called off the search. The family still have hope in finding something. So what we're doing this weekend is we're just calling on the community of Far North Queensland, anybody and everybody. If you want to come and be involved, we're going to do a major search again back out on the reef, on the shorelines, on the beaches. So we're calling for anybody, any community members who just want to come along and be involved in some way, whether you've got a boat, whether you've got a jet ski, you know. So just, as I said, we're calling out to the whole North Queensland community to come out and hopefully help search. And for the family, you know, we need closure. We need to bring this young fella home. So if, you know, anybody wants further information or wants to come along and how they can contribute, ring Cairo Tubuai. And his number is 0432 914 833. Please, as I said, we're just calling on everybody. Come along, lend your support. Let's bring this young fella home.
Side by side, we walk along to the end of Gertrude Street. And with tarpaulin and mustard for a quart of wine. Thick or thin, right or wrong, in the cold and in the heat, we cross over Smith Street to the end of the line. Then we laugh and sing, do anything to take away the pain, trying to keep it down as it first went down in Charcoal Lane. Spinning yarns and telling jokes, now the wine is tasting good, 'cause it's getting closer and closer to its end. Have a sip and roll some smokes. We'd smoke tailor-mades if we could, but we just may do with some city street blend. Then we'd all chuck in and we'd start to grin when we had enough to do it again. But if things got tight, then we had to bite for Charcoal Lane. Up Gertrude Street, we'd walk once more with just a few cents short. We'd stop at the builders to see who we could see. Then we'd bite around until we'd score a flagon of MacWilliams Port, enough to take away our misery. Then we'd all get drunk, oh so drunk, and maybe a little insane. Then we'd stagger home charcoal lane. I'm a survivor of charcoal lane.
Folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trev Murray from Macquarie, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Professor Deborah Cheatham, AO, Artistic Director and Project Lead on Short Black Opera, Empowering Ensemble Dutala Melbourne. It's on the line. Professor, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Ganya Babripna. It's good to talk to you, Trevor. I'm coming to you from the beautiful unceded lands of the Boonwurrung people, Eastern Kulin Nation.
Too deadly, sister. Thank you very much. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Yeah, my family's from, on my grandmother's side, Yorta Yorta country. Beautiful up there on the Dungala, both sides of the border, New South Wales and Victoria, and the beautiful Barma Forest. And on my grandfather's side, from the gorgeous Sapphire Coast, Yuin Country, beautiful Goolaga Mountain. So
beautiful.
I'm very fortunate to have fresh water and salt water in my veins.
Yes, beautiful. And in lockdown at the moment in Melbourne, and like I said, thinking of you guys, but there's light at the end of the tunnel, eh?
I think there's light at the end of the tunnel. Let's hope it's not a train.
Thank you, that's right.
Look, I think we're getting there, and we've worked really hard towards making sure that as many people can be protected as possible.
Yes.
And I think even though the numbers are high, I think we are moving towards the coming out of the lockdown and trying to build a new normal down here, still protecting people's health, because we've got to remember, you know, there are vulnerable people in the community and they might not be able to be having a vaccine, and we've got to look after everyone, yeah?
Yeah, too deadly, sister. Let's talk about Short Black Opera. Look, an opportunity for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander orchestral musicians. So tell us about this deadly space.
Absolutely. You know what? I'm so glad I'm talking to you up there in beautiful Cairns, because I know there are so many incredible musicians that have come out of Cairns.
Mm.
And I know there are lots of kids that play wonderful instruments up there. I think you've got wonderful you know, brass band traditions.
From Yarrabah, they're doing a fantastic job over there. Yeah. So we've got a nice platform here, yes.
Yeah, you've got a great platform up there, and I'm so hoping that I can come up and visit. We basically just want to change the world through the power of music. And, I mean, we know that our traditional way of knowing and being and giving meaning to everything has always been through the arts. In particular, music and dance and our narrative and our paintings. But, you know, my specialty is in music, and it's I've been very fortunate to have an education in classical music, which is a really powerful form, a really powerful way of getting our stories across to a broad audience. And so what we've done with Short Black Opera is we've established a group. It's Australia's first classical Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander orchestra called Ensemble Dutala.
And what sort of instruments are we talking, sister?
Oh, look, we're talking French horn, clarinet, saxophone, violin, viola, cello, double bass, a flute, a bassoon, if you can believe it. So all the instruments that you'd expect to see in an orchestra, that's what we're building in Ensemble Dutala. And we've got some great musicians led by our musical director, Aaron Wyatt.
Okay. And all black people are playing the instruments.
All black.
Yeah.
All black. And we're looking for kids, actually. We've got a whole range of scholarships that we want to give to kids who really just love music. They love their instrument and they want to play and they want to keep playing. And, you know, we've got this fantastic research project which has been funded through the Lowitcher Institute.
Yes. a big shout out. Big shout out, Lower Tune Institute, did a fantastic job.
Big shout out, yes. Because they've realised that the kind of research that's been done on our people over all these 200 years, it's very wearing, and it'll only get you so far, you know?
Mm.
It's research that's led by our people, for our people.
Yes.
You know that old saying, nothing about us without us.
Exactly.
And I think that has to be embedded in who's your leader, who's leading this, and how well do they understand what is necessary for a benefit to flow back to community. So that's why a big shout out to Lower Tune Institute, because this research modelling, I think it's more than 20 projects that they've supported.
Yes.
Over the next 18 months, we're one of them.
And this fantastic opportunity, Short Black Opera, it can open up doors for these young musicians in regard to their future aspirations, and also it becomes a motivation for younger brothers and sisters in their community watching the young brothers and sisters do their thing.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm of the mind, Trevor, that we should not be excluded from any concert hall,
yes.
any theatre, any stage, any musical platform. You know, we're good at music because we've had the longest time with music. We've
yes.
got the oldest music practice in the world.
I hear you. Yes. Well, and that's any profession if you look at it.
It's just another genre.
Yeah.
We're showing how good we are in country, rock, hip-hop, you name it. You know, we've got big names across the music industry in Australia, and I think that deserves to be the same in classical music. And I know there are a lot of kids out there really interested.
Yes.
I bet there's somebody listening right now plays, I don't know, trumpet, maybe French horn, trombone, clarinet.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love them to get in touch and be part of this project because we're going to support kids where they live.
Yeah.
And also give them opportunities to travel too. Maybe come down to Melbourne when borders open up and it's safe to do so. And make sure that we give people opportunities that they can take back into community and celebrate with their family.
Sister, we're talking auditions, are we? No matter where they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. Paint that picture.
They can audition wherever they are. You know, when I set out, Trevor, I decided that, you know, we could say, oh, look, there are 5 scholarships and everybody needs to compete for those. We will find scholarships for as many
yes.
kids as we find. Nicely we want to support
done.
Kids that are passionate about their instrument, and make sure they have the absolute best support they can at home,
yeah.
and also give them the opportunity to travel and work with professional musicians down here, and even play alongside members of Ensemble du Tala. It's
what age are we talking, sister?
Yeah, well, look, I think that we don't want to limit this. The opportunity is for kids that are as. We've got kids as young as 8 in this program.
Right, yeah.
But I think the optimum age is probably 14-year-olds to 24-year-olds.
Okay.
For the junior scholarship programs.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're younger than that, we've got lots of ways of connecting you and supporting you. So it's just a question of hopping online to Short Black Opera, and you can find a way to connect with us there, and we'll have a chat with you.
Cool.
And maybe even a Zoom,
yep.
and get to meet you and know you and find out what it is you need, what kind of support you need, and then connect you up with this beautiful group, Ensemble du Tala. We've got members from Noongar country, we've got Yorta Yorta in there, we've got people from the Torres Strait, Wiradjuri. There's a beautiful collection of musicians, and I think this orchestra is going to grow over the next couple of years, and it's going to change the way that orchestral music looks like in Australia.
To Delhi. Have we got a date when this will all come to fruition and a closing date as such for audition?
Yeah, so I think that people can send in an audition any time.
Mm.
We have a project that will take place in January next year. We call it the One Day in January. And we call it that because that project began on January 25, which, of course, in 1788 was the last day of true self-determination for our people on this continent.
Yes.
And we wanted to take back that date,
good.
January 25. So we get the whole orchestra
good.
Together on January 25 in Melbourne, and we play,
yes.
play up a storm. Now, I reckon if people can hop online to Short Black Opera, I'll give you an email address.
Please, that'd be good.
Idea?
Yes,
okay,
go ahead.
Here's the email address. Got a pencil, everyone? Here you go. It's shortblack@me.com. If you'd like to know more about this scholarship
at
program.
At me, as an M-E, at me?
Me, yep.
Dot com.
Me, as in. Yep, dot
lovely.
Com.
Beautiful.
And if you want to know more about this program, or if you, you know, just if you want to know about it. I mean,
yes.
A lot of people, they don't even play an instrument yet.
Sure.
Maybe they've never thought about it, and it's something they'd like to think
but
they
about. Get the knowledge, the information, and pass on to a cousin, brother, who may have talent as such.
Oh, look, there's no end of talent out there. What we need to do is match talent with opportunity.
Yes.
And what this research project will show are the ways that we can decolonise the system so that our talent can shine through into every classical concert hall and recital venue, not only in Australia but around the world.
Too deadly. Thank you very much for sharing. Fantastic. So shortblack@me.com, there's the email. Auditions are opening up now. Have the conversation, have the yarn. Opportunity there before you. Great talking with you, Professor Deborah. Good to catch up again. Look, take care. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Borders open up. Come up and join us, my sister, in Cairns.
Can't wait. Thanks so much, Trevor.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deadly Yarn. There is Professor Deborah Cheatham, AO, Artistic Director and Project Lead on Short Black Opera. So if you play a musical instrument, you want to broaden your horizons or look at a fantastic opportunity, do check them out. Flick an email, shortblack@me.com. There it is. Have your say. Yarn up strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Deadly Yarn. Oh,
by making the choice to get vaccinated against COVID-19.
You are keeping our elders, our next generations,
our communities and our way of life safe.
It's up to us to keep mobs safe.
It's safe, it's free.
And your choice.
Yarn with your doctor today.
Make the choice to get vaccinated against COVID-19. Visit makethechoice.com.au.
Station sponsor.
I don't have much to offer, just me and my old guitar. There's no big house, no nest egg, all our things are second hand. But she tells me she loves me for doing the best I can. We don't eat out, we eat in. We wash up and watch TV. I don't spoil her too often. She says that still drive my rusty ute. I don't spoil her too often. Don't know why she thinks that's cute. There's no big house, no nest egg, and it's hard to understand when she tells me
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your saying, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. All right, promoting awareness and interest among our mob, young people ages 16 to 26 to apply for NASDA, a position in NASDA, and perform and shake your booty and use it as a career pathway. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Class of 18 graduate, that's Neville Williams-Boney, on the line. Neville, good morning. How are you?
Good morning,
Good morning, Karen. I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you very much. Brother, before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
So my name is Neville Williams Boney. I'm a proud Wiradjuri and Wailwan man from Wahoonga.
Too deadly, my brother. And you're a graduate of class of 2018 with NASDA. Look, a fantastic opportunity for young people to get immerse themselves in dance, and it could take them a long way. So let's talk about the promotion and awareness and looking for interests of First Nation people, young people ages 16, 26, to apply. Why should they, and where can it take them, brother?
Yeah, they should definitely audition if they have a inkling of wanting to dance or if just fascination with the arts in general. So dancing at NASDA opened my eyes personally with their base, like their fundamentals is all about culture.
Yes.
And so learning about culture, with learning about Torres Strait Islander culture, learning about other mob here in Sydney, learning about mob up in the NT, learning about my own mob, I was able to learn cultural and just learn about cultural knowledge that I needed to know, and then also taking that knowledge and then spreading it to other areas. So not only just dance, but like music,
yes,
and learning how to make music and learning how to create dance, learning how to create script writing, learning how to produce music, like a lot of different things, and not just dancing. So if anyone has an inkling of like wanting to dance, definitely come down, and then they might find a pursuit in acting. Like, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it could open up doors once you graduate, you can go to any field. But also, I know that NASDA works closely with TOs of the land across the country, and they learn, you know, the language and the culture and permission to share that with the world back on stage or in front of a camera. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. Like with my year, we went up to Mull Island and learn dance with Ben. I'm still in touch with Uncle Dujon up there, and we still, when he comes down, he asks me to come dance with him. I will say yes all the time. I love island dancing. But then also, likewise, up with NT mob, so up in Ninike, up there in North Arnhem, Northeast Arnhem Land,
yeah.
We have some family up there now. Like, that connection's still strong there. So, like, I still talk to them. You know, we still message each other. I still say, what's up, Arnie? What's up, Yappa? And talk with them and learn the language. And yeah, and then that also helps you learn your own one too. Like, it just helps you reinforce your own mob where you're from too. So it helps you give you that power to go back to your own community and
yes,
strengthen up there.
Yeah, it's a fantastic vehicle when we're talking about dancing and you know, the interaction with our mob. In regard to the dancing with NASDA, it's not only cultural as well. I mean, all different types of dancing you learn too. Is that right, Neville?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You have to learn ballet, which makes you realize you didn't have muscles where you didn't know you had before.
Yes.
You know, so much pain. You also learn contemporary dance also, like, you know, so you can venture into Bangara if you wanted to that way, or, you know, create your own kind of style, move out and, you know. You also learn, like, tumbling, so flips and, you know, lifts and all that kind of stuff. We also learn Pilates, jazz, physical theatre when you incorporate speaking and singing into it, cultural definitely, and music and composition and choreography, like just a lot of different things, but even yoga every day, every morning. It's such a good feeling.
And over the years, and all graduates from NASDA have went on different pathways, and we're talking about overseas travels as well as overseas dance companies, so doors can open up, yes?
Yeah, definitely. Like, in my last year, I went over to New York City, which has always been a dream of mine to go there. It's also a great way to get into Bangara, if that's your dream to go into Bangara. There's also other dreams of traveling the world, even if it's just learning different cultures. A lot of mob come in and they, like, go over to Hawaii and they learn culture there. Or they go to America and they learn about native, our brothers and sisters over there in North America on Turtle Island. Yeah, and over in New Zealand as well, and having connections all over the world, definitely.
Beautiful.
As well as their own backyard.
Fantastic. True, brother. Now, regarding the audition for 2022 for NASDA, they're doing a lot of, because of COVID-19, a lot of video auditions as such. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. I think they got a lot easier than when I had it. You know, we had to go into the college and then, like, learn the dance there and then, and, like, you know, do our best and be embarrassed and feel shame, but then also, like, get nervousness down the road. But, like, online, like, you know, what they're doing is they're sending out, I believe they're sending out, like, two videos or two routines that you can practice and practice and send your best video. And, you know, thanks to TikTok now, brother, you know, kids are now well adept in that kind of field of, you know, dancing in front of a camera. So I think they're deadly, you know.
Yeah, fantastic. So, Neville, that's what our yarn is about today, is promoting awareness and interest for our mob to dance. Ages 16 to 26, auditions are open with NASDA. You can Google them or check out their webpage and get all the information. But thank you for sharing, my brother, and all the best to you, eh?
That's all good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Take care, Neville. Bye-bye.
Bye.
A deadly yarn there, Neville Williams Bonner. He's a graduate of NASDA, class of 2018, and promoting the fact that it's a fantastic opportunity, a beautiful career pathway for young people out there who want to dance or get into acting or get into behind the scenes on stage. A great opportunity. So do check it out. Go online, check out NASDA. This is your daily program, National Talk Black.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your saver calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, historically significant return to country for generations of the Kalili people. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Toby Adams, Adams. Toby Adams, founder of the Kalili mob there, and got him on the line. Toby, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Trevor. Really good. How are you going?
Very good, my brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, my name's Toby Adams. I'm a proud Kalili Buntamara man. But I live on the Sunshine Coast now, but my country, Kalili side, on my grandmother's side, is out around Thargaminda along the Bulloo River.
Yes.
And on my grandfather's side, the Docherty's on Buntamara country, just west of Quilpie, out on the far southwest Queensland.
Fantastic, brother. Tell us about the historical significant return to country and how it all came about, please, brother.
Yeah, well, this year we're really proud because it was the first time that we got our mob to go back to country to celebrate NAIDOC. Yeah, for the very first time. And I guess the way that it came about is I run a language program for our mob to get our language strong again, called Kalili Nōkana. And at the beginning of the year, when the NAIDOC theme was announced as Heal Country, we put it out to all the mob on our social media and just said to them, look, if we went back to country for NAIDOC, who'd be keen to come back with us? And we thought we might get about 10, maybe 20 people who put their hand up to come, because it's, you know, from Brisbane way, it's an 11.5 hour drive. It's a big trip there. And yeah, we got over 100 people who said, yeah, we'd be really keen to come. So with that came a few headaches in terms of, you know, getting mob back there. But I worked really closely with our corporation, and we got some really deadly sponsors to sponsor the event.
Yes.
And it meant that we could get a bus from Brisbane, and we got a bus from Moorabinda, and we had a big tent city set up, and we paid the local school to cater for us. And yeah, we had a really deadly weekend back on country to celebrate NAIDOC.
Look, it would have been very, like, emotional, you know, and talking about goosebump stuff, but togetherness and gathering on country, you can't beat that, brother. And, like, spiritual, I'm thinking too, my brother.
Yeah, it was really special. And I guess what we wanted to make sure is that people were coming back just for the reason of being back on country, not there to get paid to be there or not to do a job there, but just to be back on country for country.
Mm.
And because of the history of our people, it's meant that a lot of people have been moved off country. Like my dad's generation, dad got taken to Cherbourg, and a lot of our old people got taken to places like Cherbourg and Moorabinda and Palm Island and stuff like other mobs around the place. And, and, you know, we had massacres there too that killed a lot of our mobs. So to be able to take people back there was really special. And we had some old people come, a couple of old aunties from Moorabinda that made the trip down. And for them, that was their first time on country. And they're quite emotional for them. We did a really beautiful smoking ceremony and welcome at the beginning. And, yeah, a lot of people were really emotional with that. But also we had, you know, I had my kids there. And a lot of people have their kids there, and for them, it's important for them to know that, you know, this is your country and you've got a birthright to this country, and to learn that from a really young age is really special, because for people like myself and older, we didn't have that opportunity.
Yes. Look, and about sharing it with our children, yeah, and sharing how deep the roots are. How long did you stay out there for on country, brother?
Yeah, we were there for about 4 days. So it takes about a day to get there, and then out there for the weekend. And
So there was camps and tents and everything, Toby?
Yeah, a big tent. We had a tent city set up in the town. Yeah, so the beautiful. Local council let us have the football field.
Good.
And we had tent city set up. And during the days, we'd take people out to see some of our significant sites. So we'd go out to the sand hills, and we saw where some of our old people were buried in the sand hills.
Yeah.
And we went out to the ochre pits where our old people would have collected ochre for ceremony. Went walking and looking at there's lots of artifacts still out there, and we'd see where some of the old camps were. And
You would have made contact with the mob out there, living out there, living on country?
Yeah, so the families that are living in the country, they come in and connect up with the mobs, and you know, they were related to a lot of the mobs.
Of course.
Came out, and, you know, for a big part of the people that came out, they'd never been out there. It's the first time they'd been out there.
Yeah, beautiful.
And for some of the families, it was the first time they'd met each other too.
Yes.
It was a really beautiful weekend, and just to kind of make people feel strong in terms of knowing that, you know, this is your country and this is the history of your country and also of the people, but also just to, you know, give them some of that knowledge and education so that they can take that back to their families and so that their kids have it and so that, you know, when their kids have kids, they'll have it as well.
Well, exactly, and here we are in the 21st century, Toby, and we are still making contact, you know, with our ancestors by being on country, you know, and the atrocity that was put on our black people, we are still mending and fixing that space, aren't we, brother?
Yeah, 100%. And you know, you hear some people talk about culture or language being lost, and it's not lost. It might be just covered up and
exactly.
Displaced for a moment, but if we take the time to connect with our old people and to connect with country, then we'll find it again. And for Kalalee people, that's what we're doing at the moment, is we're connecting back with our language and we're connecting back with our old people, because we want to be culturally strong again, and we know how strong our old people were, and we know we'll be that strong going forward into the future.
Yeah, look, it's a significant moment, and we talk about some violent history there on your country, but also talk about the beginning and regarding sharing it with your children and making, you know, building the roots strong with our children, for our children, on country, and you can't beat that, my brother. And congratulations to you and your mob, brother. It's fantastic. Kalalee people, too deadly, brother.
No, thank you, brother. Really appreciate it. And, you know, one of the really nice things, too, is we're letting the local community kind of understand who we are and know some of the history as well. And even, you know, even the violent part of the history. And it's something that, you know, we can't sweep under the rug. Everyone has to know about it. But together we can learn.
Truth telling, brother. Truth telling.
That's it. That's it,
yeah,
brother.
Brother, beautiful. Well, thank you for sharing, brother, and all the best to your family. Look, stay safe, brother, and be strong for your people, my cuss.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, my brother, and, yeah, big thank you to all your listeners too.
You take care, bro. Bye-bye, Toby.
Okay, bye-bye.
A deadly yarn there. Toby Adams, his name is, and founder, Kalalee Gudugana, as a way to connect back with his people, country, and language and culture. The generations of the Kalalee people, historical significant return to country, fantastic. And it's about sharing with the young ones as well and building the roots strong with those young ones. Have your say and yarn up strong here. Add to the conversation, National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416.